I read a passage recently from the diary of St. Faustina. And Sister Faustina was doing a holy hour at the time. She was praying in the presence of the Eucharist. And Jesus appeared to her as an infant, as the Christ child. And she described him as being radiant and beautiful. And Jesus said to her, "Although my greatness is beyond understanding, I commune only with those who are little. I demand of you a childlike spirit." Yeah, that's even though Christ appeared radiant in glory, he appeared as a child. And we see that in the gospel, our Lord is trying to teach the apostles a very similar lesson to what he was teaching to Sister Faustina. You know, the apostles at this time, they're with Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who's come into this world. You know, they've witnessed all of his miracles. You'd think they would simply be awestruck and amazed at him, you know, whose presence they're in. But instead, they're focused on themselves. You know, their pride has gotten in the way. And, you know, while Jesus is trying to prepare them for his passion, talking about how he's going to suffer and die, you know, they're vying for the highest spot in heaven. And so they're obviously in a very different mindset than where our Lord wants them to be. And because they're so focused on themselves and who's going to be the greatest among themselves, they're not able to recognize whose presence they're in the midst of. And so in order to teach them, he tells them that the greatest is the one who serves the least. And so he takes a child. You know, children had a low place in society at the time, you know, in part because they were vulnerable and they were easy to take advantage of, and they didn't have the respect that an adult or elders would have. And so our Lord teaches them that they need to humbly serve the least around them, and that's the sign of true greatness. You know, often when people first engage in the spiritual life, you know, when they first recognize the significance of Christianity and its importance, you know, a lot of times they want to attain greatness, you know, just like the apostles. You know, they want the highest spot in heaven. You know, they want to be right up there with the seraphim, the highest choir of angels, you know, adoring God at his throne. And, you know, sometimes people think about, you know, being a great saint or attaining great holiness. And in part, that's a good desire. You know, we should desire for holiness. But oftentimes there's a lot of ourselves in that desire. You know, it's like we're taking our own selfishness and our own pride and just bringing that into our spiritual life. And so we need to be purified of that desire for our own greatness in order to grow closer to Christ, because we have to be focused on him, not on ourselves. So that selfish desire needs to be purified. And we should ultimately desire to grow in holiness, not because we want greatness for ourselves, but because we want to do God's will. And so the apostles followed that transformation. You know, and we need to do the same. Because like the apostles, there's often a lot of pride in ourselves that needs to be purified and replaced with authentic humility. So the first question is, how do we know if there's pride in us? And that's actually an easy question, because the answer is there is. You know, there's pride in all of us. We don't have to worry about the answer to that question. We know it. You know, if we didn't have any pride, we wouldn't commit a single sin in our entire lives, because every sin has pride at its root in some way, shape, or form. So every one of us has pride that we need to be purified of. And so how do we recognize where that pride is? Well, I think it helps to distinguish pride from humility. A humble person is not going to hesitate to serve whoever around them is in need, no matter how small or menial the task is. They'll drop what they're doing and they'll focus on helping the person around them. You know, nothing will be too low for them. And we see that in Mother Teresa. She gives us a great example. Whoever was in need around her, people that other people just dismissed, she would instantly go and serve. And nothing was too low for her. She would do menial tasks, because she recognized the importance of that. A prideful person is going to resent trials in their life. They'll think, well, you know, why do I have to go through this? Or I don't want to struggle with this. A humble person will accept those trials from the hand of God and say, there's a purpose, there's a reason, whatever the Lord hands me, I'll accept it. You know, a pride will often lead us to see the faults in others. You know, pride might lead us to have a list. Well, this person has this fault, this person has this fault. You know, we always see the faults in the people around us, whereas a humble person is going to first see the faults within themselves. They're going to look at themselves and say, well, where are my faults first? You know, a prideful person is never going to want to anyone to know that they have any flaws. You know, they want to project this appearance that they're perfect. Well, that's just not reality. We all have flaws. And so a humble person isn't going to be that concerned about what other people think or that other people see their flaws because, well, we have those flaws. You know, sometimes people who are prideful want to teach others, and they always have the answer for other people, you know, how to fix their lives or what they need to be doing different, rather than first recognizing our own need to be instructed. You know, sometimes pride leads people to resent legitimate authority, you know, the authority of their parents or the authority of the church. You know, there's a lot of people today who don't want to listen to the church simply out of pride because their own view is untouchable and they don't want anybody telling them what to do or what to believe. You know, that's very common as people leave organized religion and, you know, they focus on what they call their own personal spirituality. That's very common today. But basically, what people end up doing is making up their own religion. And it's based upon their own desires and their own beliefs. And so it's all centered on their own pride that they're building this on. And what's missing is the will of God. And what is the will of God? The will of God is to unite us together into the church. And so, you know, if we desire union with Jesus Christ, and as he says in the gospel, if we have union with Christ, we will have union with the one who sent him, our Heavenly Father. But in order to attain that union with Christ, we can't be focused on ourselves. We need to be purified of that pride, and we need to embrace authentic humility. And that means that we need to be little in our own eyes. We need to be humble. And so the more humble we are, the more we'll be able to see the greatness and the majesty of God. The more we'll be able to rejoice in his goodness and his mercy and his plan of salvation because we'll be less focused on ourselves. And so humble service to others and a humble interior life is the foundation for union with God.